Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, General Manager of the Washington Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Mike, we were talking a little bit about your comments on the anonymous National League executive who called Bryce Harper selfish and a loser. You got a little salty about that, right?
As you should have, by the way.
Well, you know, it's that, you know, when there are unwarranted attacks on one of your own, a family member and stuff like that, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but yeah, I get salty. It pisses me off, and I'm not going to stand idly by and let these clowns make these disparaging remarks about a player they obviously don't know, or they wouldn't have made the remarks. You calling Bryce Harper a loser when he's got the resume of one of the great players of all time at age 25. It shows your lack of knowledge of the subject matter, and also, you know, how cowardly are you to hide behind some anonymous quote. So, yeah, it was salty.
Yeah, Feinstein always tells us that he will not print anonymous sources' quotes. He said if you can't put a name to it, he's not going to print it. If you knew who it was, would you call them up today?
Of course I would. I would call them, and I'd ask them what their situation is, what was the basis of the comments. And, you know, everyone has their opinions. Bryce is a very polarizing, major league player. Your opinions are fine. I've got no problem with that. Put your name on it, and we have no problem with it. There's no issues. If you want to be that boisterous, and those comments were harsh. They were totally inaccurate and unbiased. I mean, no basis to them or anything like that. But you know, those were infuriating comments, and to then hide behind, talking real tough and all that stuff. And then at the end, by the way, this is off the record.
Right.
You know, don't use my name.
Right.
Come on, man.
It's one thing to say, you know, if he was asked about Bryce's upcoming contract, it's one thing to say, well, I don't think any player is worth that much money. You know, it's a lot of money to designate to one player. But, man, to come out and individually say that he's a loser and no one likes him, I mean, that is pretty harsh.
Yeah, and you better have your facts together when you say those kind of comments. But of course, when you don't put your name to it, there's no ramifications. There's nothing. You know, he's anonymous. He walks around today, and you know, nobody knows who he is. And you know, he may smirk and smile about it. And that's why I thought that, you know, guys, the easiest thing in the world would have been to let it go. It would have faded. But when I saw it on MLB Network, then Yahoo Sports picks it up. And, you know, the today's days, the age of, social media, even these small-time writers, they get big attention when they write these inflammatory type of articles about these very, very popular players. And Harp is, you know, let's face it, Harp gets you clicks, you know. And
it's true.
And that's what a lot of these quote-unquote journalists are all about. It's not about the substance of the story. It's about be a shock jock and how much can I infuriate people to get attention and to get clicks on his blog and stuff like that. I don't know the guy, so I wouldn't know if he walked in this room. So
joined by Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops and GM of the Nationals. All right, we got a lot to cover here in the next 10 minutes. Let's start with Daniel Murphy. Tell me where he's at. I guess he's been activated, and when we'll see him in the lineup.
Well, he played last night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he played last night. He DH. We thought it was a good time to break him into the lineup. He's feeling good. We've got five games in the American League with the DH, I mean, and then you have a couple of days off. So we thought it was a good time. He felt good. He had plenty of rehab at bats, and we felt it was a good time for him to come. So, yeah, he had opening day last night against CC Sabathia, and he's knocking a little rust off. Had a really good at bat, his last at bat, really grinding one out, and we're glad to have him back in the lineup. He's an imposing figure in the lineup. It lengthens our lineup and makes us much more dangerous.
Did he have any good swings? I didn't get to see any of his at-bats last night.
He said the last at-bat.
The last at-bat was?
The last at-bat was a good one. He grinded out, like a 10-pitch at-bat. I think he was 0-for-4 on the night. But you knocking rust off and seeing, just seeing pitches and getting back into the swing of it against, very, very good left-handed starting pitcher in CC Sabathia. So it was a tough game for him to break into, but he really wanted to play. And while we're going to take advantage of these DH games while he's while we're playing this American League interleague stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You guys think of everything, I don't have any doubt that Daniel Murphy's going to. I feel like that guy could hit on one leg. He could hit while he's asleep. That's just what he does. But what did throw me, Mike, is when we all saw those videos of him kind of running and fielding, and he certainly was playing with some sort of limp, right? It just
And that flat-footed.
That just was like, that was like shocking to me. Has he overcome it that quickly? Because I looked at that, Mike, and I said, well, I don't know how that guy's ever going to play again. That looks awful. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, he was running much better. He had a chance to run a ball out yesterday and ran well. When he decelerates and stops running is when you'll see the effects of the knee surgery, and he'll limp a little bit. But the knee is strong, it's stable, and he's ready to play. And he's a guy that we need and want in the lineup, and a guy that's going to really help us going forward.
So Bryce was hit twice last night, once in the elbow by Sabathia, and then once by one of the relievers. Don't know the name, but maybe it was Green. But he didn't look like he was too comfortable. He did stay in the game after the elbow. Couldn't do it after the foot was hurt. You have any update on that?
Yeah, he's saw him yesterday. He had ice bags all over him. Looked like he was in a motorcycle wreck or something. He had ice bags everywhere: elbow, foot, ankle, knee. CC clipped him. He was going inside on him and clipped him. You know how it is when you get clipped on the wrong spot in the elbow. That funny bone, your whole body really goes numb for a while, and he shook that off. And then that the slider went down and in and hit him on his back foot, on his big toe of his back foot, and that went numb on him, and we felt better to take him out of the game at that point. He left the clubhouse yesterday. He said he's fine. He'll be in the lineup today.
Good. How is Bryce handling the Vegas Golden Knights loss to the Capitals in the Stanley Cup Final, Mike? How's that going?
I think he handled it great. I thought I wouldn't say he was happy to be there, but it wasn't a historic run by by an expansion franchise. So I think he took some pride and solace in that. And it is. He's a proud guy from Vegas, and you're put in a tough spot when your hometown is playing a championship game against your second home. It put him in a little precarious spot. But hey, I like the way he stood up for Vegas, and I thought he was very respectful when the Cavs beat their butts and said all the right things, and I think he felt them.
Yeah.
So Mike, tell us about Strauss. We know how he is with his body, very particular. If he's got a toenail issue, he wants to miss a start.
But I think this is a real issue.
Inaccurate as usual.
Okay, but the shoulder's a little different. All right, the shoulder's a little different. I get it. He was not comfortable in that last start. He goes on the DL. Is this something that you're concerned over?
Well, yeah, sure. Anytime you're going to miss starts with one of the top pitchers in the league, you're concerned about it. We don't think it's anything long term or serious, so we think that in a couple of weeks he'll be back and as good or maybe better than ever. And I think that the couple of weeks off in the middle of the season may make him stronger for the back end of the season. So although we're concerned about it, and obviously it's a detriment to the team. We think that it's nothing that's going to be a long-term issue to him. And like I said, we should see him bigger, stronger, and better when he gets off the DL for the stretch drive of the season.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, how do you foresee the first base position playing out here the rest of the season? Matt Adams has been so productive, great power hitter. Reynolds has flashed at times. And obviously you have Ryan Zimmerman there. How do you see it playing out?
Well, we got to get Zim healthy. You know, when he's 100% healthy and get him back in a lineup and clicking, that's our best case scenario. You know, Matty Adams has been terrific, specifically against right-handed pitching. And you know, what it does, it gives us options. It gives us options to move people around. It gives us two big horses in Adams and Reynolds off the bench for pinch hits and key times. You know, don't forget, Matt Adams is you know, statistically the best pinch hitter in baseball right now. He's got career records of pinch hits and home runs and RBIs, and he's been terrific off the bench. And you know, we're looking forward to the day where we get Zim in the lineup and Murph in the lineup and Eaton in the lineup and everybody clicking at the same time. And we haven't had it one time this season yet with even seven of our six of our everyday eight lineup at once. And we're looking forward to that day. Until then, we got to keep grinding away and try and create runs and manufacture runs and have guys that we're not counting on to play every day for us and help us win games.
So when Zim does come back, does that force you to make a decision on Reynolds, or can you have all three of those guys on the roster?
Well, we'll make the prudent roster decision when the time comes. And you know, Reynolds has been a huge help for us when Zim went down, and you know, I foresee him, you know, being a member of the team. I think, like I said, a bench of Adams from the left side and Reynolds from the right side coming off the bench really makes the other manager have to strategize and account for them, you know, coming into the game in late in the games. And you know, Zim's not going to be able to play seven games, you know, seven out of seven games. So we're going to mix and match. Davey's, you know, famous for that, coming from Chicago. He's going to put together some you know, crazy lineups to get guys work and keep everybody fresh. And I think the more good players you have on the roster, the better chances you are to sustain injuries and to be you know, consistent throughout the season. And you know, like I said, we're trying to get healthy. We're working on, you know, getting our full lineup in. And until we do, it's all hands on deck, and we've got to win games and you know, keep afloat in the National League East until we get the reinforcements.
A last question before we get to the Burke and Herbert. You guys have been fortunate here since Strassi was out because of the schedule. You had Tuesday off. You had Monday off, and then, of course, you have tomorrow off, so you didn't have to finagle the rotation as much. Fetty's going to go tonight. But if you guys had to play five straight games, who would fill in that fifth spot, the Hellickson spot?
We'll make a decision. It'll be from within. You know, we've got some viable options. You saw Jeffrey Rodriguez pitch in that long relief role. He's a starting pitcher in the minor leagues. He's an option for us. Voth is an option for us in Triple-A. I mean, we could reach deeper if we had to with Tommy Malone and that group of guys. But we've got plenty of good options down in the farm. We're a deep, lengthy minor league system. This season has taxed and tested our scouting and player development systems like no other season. I think I give them an A+ on how they've reacted to it. And I couldn't be more proud of the organization that we put together, the process that we have, and the way that, we fill these rosters we've got 11 major league players out of our 25 man roster on the disabled list right now. We're still fighting. We're still a game out of first place in a tough National League East. And that's a tribute to the scouts, the player development, who are filling this roster, and to David Martinez and the coaching staff for juggling these things and really managing a 45, 50 man roster and doing it really well.
Well, Mike, you have one thing to look forward to next week. You get to play the Orioles.
Tonight we're playing the Yanks, though. We got to beat Gray.
Yeah, the Yanks are a little different.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Do you believe Ohtani had elbow issues before coming to America, and is it possible, like some speculate, that his injury is due to overuse as a pitcher and a hitter? That from Lee in Carroll County.
Lee.
Well, pitchers get hurt, as we all know. You know, Tommy John's not an anomaly anymore. It happens quite often. You're talking about, one of the most elite pitchers in the world, not only internationally or in Major League Baseball. This guy is one of the elite pitchers in the world and one of the elite hitters. So we had glowing reports on him as a pitcher and as a hitter. And I think, pitching is taxing on the arm. And when you're splitting time with pitching and playing a position and DHing and taking consistent batting practice like a position player does, I think the wear and tear, it's real. It's something. That's not to say he's not one of the most marketable, valuable players in the league. His surplus trade value is probably as good as any player's in Major League Baseball because of the contract he has, the length of service that you have him under control, and his ability level. So this guy is he's a marvel. He's something. He's something to watch. And I can't wait till he gets back. When Ohtani's playing, it's better for baseball.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the time as always. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, all right, buddy. All
That's
right.
Mike Rizzo coming up next. We get back to the Capitals. A legend, Ole the goalie, Ole Kolzig, joins us next on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're also live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Remember, Game Show Wednesday coming up at 9:45. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. A legend from the Washington Capitals, Ole the goalie, yep. Ole Kolzig. And Ole, I'm sure it was rewarding to be kind of a fan and be part of this to see the Caps win the Stanley Cup. But it's also rewarding to you probably financially because you have a company called 500level.com.
What is this?
And you have Caps championship T-shirts with caricatures.
Nice.
I'm guessing there are going to be a lot of T-shirt sales at 500level.com.
Yeah, they'll be robust.
I'm jealous.
I'd like to say I'm a stakeholder in a company, but I'm actually just a big supporter of it. I have a good friend, John Wheeler, who really believes in it. And it's a fantastic company. I've ordered a bunch of stuff, and they make some great, not only great the material, the T-shirt itself is great, but the stuff they can do, the different logos, the different pictures. I'm sure there's going to be some interesting ones. I'll guarantee you there'll be one with Ovi swimming in the fountain or Ovi doing a keg stand.
There now, should be.
Ole, take us back to last week when the Caps clinched the cup in Vegas. What a great moment where Alex Ovechkin sought you out, gave you the cup, you raised it above your head, you kissed the Stanley Cup, then you gave it back to him and let him go on his way. Talk about that interaction between you and Alex and how special it was for you to get your hands on the Stanley Cup as the Caps won it for the first time.
Well, first and foremost, it was just so surreal to be there and to be a part of it. And then, just the relationship that Ovi and I had, I was here for the first 2 years. We played together, and I felt like I was one of those veterans that kind of took him under my wing. And he was so enamored with being in the NHL. He wanted to learn the North American way. He wanted to speak English right away. Like he was bought in as soon as he came here. And so we've had a special relationship, and obviously I work for the organization and I still stay in touch. But for him to, he was actually skating off the ice to go to the dressing room to start a celebration. And he spotted me and he made a big U-turn and a beeline to me. And he yelled out some expletives and handed me the thing. And it's a moment I'll never forget.
You talk also about how far the Caps have come since you were a part of the Cup run in 98, where the Caps were struggling to sell tickets to the Stanley Cup final games in their own building. And then fast forward 20 years later, and 70,000 people are trying to get into the arena to watch the Caps play while they're in Vegas. So talk about your Cup run and how much different it is now in 2018.
Well, I don't think we had a problem selling tickets to the finals. It was just that we sold them to the wrong team.
Right.
You know, we came out in the whole lower bowl. We're Detroit Red Wing fans, so it was a little disheartening. But you know what? At the time, I remember we came back from Game 6 in Buffalo, and our practice rink in Piney Orchard, Maryland, and 2 miles from the arena, their cars were lined up and down the street, and we came in. It was like 2:30 in the morning. You know, not feeling any pain, and the whole building was packed. It was almost exactly like the send-off party that the team this year had at Kettler. Only this for us was us winning the Eastern Conference Championship. But to see, like, down by Capital One Arena before the game, I mean, the streets are closed, and it was just literally a sea of red. It was unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't believe it. The concerts outside, even the Saturday game where it was the weather was questionable, and the people, the diehards, are out there watch party with their umbrellas, and they had 140,000 requests for the watch party of game five. It just shows you where this organization has come from.
Talking to Ole Kolzig, Washington Capitals legend. So you played with Alex as a rookie. Give me your impression of him on the ice the first time you saw him play.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember the first practice. I came off and was talking to the reporters. He was the best player I'd ever played with, and that was his first practice. You know, and I'd played with some really good players. I mean, Peter Bondra and Jaromir Jagr, Adam Oates, Joey Juneau. This guy was just powerful, fast. His shot was so heavy. And then obviously the first game against Columbus, he scores. So I knew he was going to be something special. And I'm just so happy for him that he finally got the Stanley Cup, because, you know, I don't think he deserved a lot of the criticism that he got. Obviously being the best player, the highest paid player on a team that hasn't won the Cup. Yes, you're gonna endure some criticism, but I think a lot of it was unjust, and I'm glad he won it. I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think it really defined Alex Ovechkin. I think it legitimizes him to a lot of people outside of Washington and outside of that the organization. But he was, in my opinion, no question, one of the top 10 all-time greatest hockey players ever.
Now, Ole, looking back on this playoff run these last 2 months, obviously, Braden Holtby is going to be known for the save, but you go back to the beginning, and Grubby was the goalie, and it made sense to a lot of us because he had been playing better the last couple of months. Talk about what it's like as a goalie, because Braden, of course, had been the best goalie in hockey before, and they talked about giving him the reset, and man, did he play well. Just talk about what it's like as a goalie, kind of the ups and downs.
Yeah, and you know, and for Braden, there hadn't been a lot of downs. You know, even in our playoff losses, he was still one of our better performers. So he's played so much hockey the last 4 years that there were some things that were starting to creep into his game, especially after the All-Star game. We weren't maybe playing as well defensively either. So
What kind of things were you saying?
He's starting to open up again. He was playing so tight. Pucks weren't getting through him. He was overreacting to pucks. His body control wasn't as good as it was. But again, you know, he was being exposed too, because we weren't playing that well defensively. And, so the culmination, obviously his numbers got inflated. And so they put Grubby in, and arguably, if Grubby hadn't played the way he did, we might not have even made the playoffs. So those two guys, our tandem, were huge. They both are very supportive of each other. Everybody, as a goalie, you always want to be in the net and playing. But even when I was playing, I always supported my partner, because, you know, really, he's the only other guy in the dressing room that understands and knows what you're going through. You know, when Phillip started, Braden was the consummate pro. He was Grubby's biggest supporter. But I know he was chomping at the bit to get back in there. And, you know, when they made the change through game two, I know he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he went in. And he's like, I'm not giving this up again. And who knows, it might have been the best thing that ever happened. Well, obviously it was the best thing that ever happened because,
yeah, right.
In my opinion, him and Tom Wilson were probably the two catalysts in the Stanley Cup run.
What went wrong with Groovy when he went in there? Was it just sort of bad luck, or did, you know, was it really a case of sort of maybe the moment too big, or was it just, you know?
I don't think so. I think it was a circumstance situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think Groovy played bad, you know, but there were times where we needed a big save, and it just, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But I saw some of the goals, you know, a lot of traffic goals. You know, the Panarin goal, overtime goal in game one was just a perfect shot. But as a goalie, you know, when a guy's coming down the wing like that, you'd like to at least just try to get a piece of it. But it wasn't like he was a deer in the headlights. And that's the one thing about Philip Grubauer. He's a very calm, confident, strong individual. And I don't think the moment was too big for him. It's just the timing wasn't right. And, you know, I know that firsthand. It took me forever to finally establish myself as a number one guy. There are a lot of times where I was given that opportunity and never seized it. And then finally, the one time where everything came together, I didn't look back. So, it was just one of those things. But whatever reason, Braden comes in, and here we are, Stanley Cup champions.
Ole, were you surprised at how effective the Capitals' offense was against Marc-Andre Fleury in the Stanley Cup final? Because you look at his numbers leading up to the final, they were otherworldly. I mean, he had a save percentage. I want to say it was like between 94 and 95%. The Caps made him look mortal. What did the Caps do to rattle and get to Fleury and to be able to win the cup?
Well, if you really look at our whole playoffs, we exposed all the goalies. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Vasilevsky maybe had the best game against. Well, him and Bobrovsky probably had the two single best games against us. But for the most part in the series, we exposed them. We're Scott Murray and the staff really, really do a good job of. They have a formula. It's a little too complicated for me to explain on the phone, but we don't try to waste shots. We try to get the goalie to move. So obviously it exposes more net for us to shoot on. And, you know, we knew that Fleury was a little aggressive. And so we didn't waste shots knowing that, well, he's coming out to challenge. We're either going to hit him or shoot it wide. We knew that he was going to come out and challenge. And so, you know, the offside winger or the centerman would put themselves in a position where you know, the other player could get a pass to him, and we'd have a fairly wide open net. And that happened a lot in the series. But like I said, he wasn't the only one that we exposed. We really did a good job doing it to the rest of the guys.
When did you think this? Because I've said it many, many times. I didn't think this was going to be the year. We had all that turnover. I thought we were going to be a 5 seed. Then we have this sort of. I thought we played above our heads a little bit, and we still scored 100 points, but I was like, I don't know, man. You know, do we really have the right ingredients? And they go down 0-2. And then obviously when they start coming back, you see, wow, this is something different. And then they knock off Pittsburgh, and then you really start believing. But you're savvy. You're an expert. You know this team. You knew that they were contenders probably all along. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. No. I mean, yeah, but I think Barry Trotz said it last year. He said that this team will win when they're not expected to. And, you know, the last 2 years, the winning came fairly easy to us. You know, I think we wrapped up the President's Trophy with six weeks to 2 months to go in the season. Where this year we had to fight and claw a little bit, not only to, you know, to solidify the division, and get a playoff spot, but, you know, all our wins were fairly close. I mean, we had to fight and claw for wins this year. And I think the players, to a man, really enjoyed the journey a lot more because it was tougher. Going into the playoffs, nobody really expected us to do anything. Probably half the experts, I think, had Columbus winning that first series. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, we're down 0-2. And me personally, I thought too that we were done. I just from the past, the scar tissue that we all that we built up, the disappointment. I thought it might have been a little too much for us to overcome. But you know, lo and behold, Columbus hits the post in overtime in Game 3, and then we go down and the defenseman tries to clear the puck, hits Lars Eller in the shins, and now all of a sudden it's a 2-1 series. And you could see that. Whoa, wait a minute, we got a little bit of puck luck. Which is nothing. Which is something that hasn't happened for our team in the last few years, and then it just started to keep coming, and you just started to see the resiliency. We started to get more bounces. We were a fast, heavy team. We punished the opposition, and you could just see it all of a sudden. And then when we beat Pittsburgh, then I knew that we've got a fantastic chance, even though. You know, we look at, we got Tampa and then we got the winner of Winnipeg and Vegas, you know, three very strong teams. I still felt that it looked like it was our time, you know, beating Pittsburgh's just, it looked like the weight just came off of Ovi's shoulders.
Right.
And he was a man possessed against Tampa and Vegas.
I asked this question of Alan May, and I don't know if you have 30 seconds to answer it, but do you think that there was something missing in Alex's game to get to this point? Because we saw the complete version of it this go-around. Or did he have enough and just the supporting cast also, you know, you just didn't have the right supporting cast?
Well, definitely a combination. The supporting cast this year was we had balanced scoring throughout the lineup. But I think Trotsy challenged Ovi and said, you need to go out there and do something that's going to make your teammates follow. And, you saw it when he started blocking shots. He was vocal on the bench. He was emotional with every save, goal post, you know, that was shot and taken. And, you know, he took the young guys under his wing and was either kicking them in the ass or, complimenting them. So he really became a complete leader this year. And everybody hopped on board.
Well, listen, it's a real pleasure to have you on the air, Ole. We're always big fans of you, and I know it's got to be special for you. The Caps have done an unbelievable job, just including everybody, former players, the fans, the city. Heck, they even let hack DJs kind of participate in this
thing. And remember, 500level.com. He may not own the company, but he's a big fan of it.
Hey, thank you, Ole. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. We're the champs.
Yep. Yes, we are. That's pretty freaking cool.
Feels good.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. So cool.
And he got to ride with, I believe, Alan May in the parade yesterday.
That's a real legend right there.
Yeah.
That is absolutely a legend.
And speaking of Alan May.
And by the way, he's huge.
Yeah. He's a big
when you
dude.
Walk by him,
big
he's dude. Huge.
I don't know. JP knows Alan better than I do, but, I had always said I want to get together and have a celebratory cocktail with him, but he does live in Dallas. Do you know his schedule? Does he fly back right after the season? Or
I don't know what he does now. Yeah. I know in the past he would fly back to Dallas. In the past, he was almost a commuter at times, like back and forth from Dallas. But he has like a grandkid now. He's got kids like all across the country. I don't know what
a busy man.
What his deal is.
Yeah, I'm going to try and hook
just
up with
text him.
Just text him. Yeah, I will.
Just text him.
All right, coming up next, Game Show Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Cakes.
MGM National Harbor, of course.
That's right.
A lot of friends over there.
We're going to do, just for Jason, PGA Tour Trivia. You can call it now at 800-636-1067. We have tickets to go see the Quicken Loans National, which features Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, and other great PGA Tour golfers. We also have tickets to Nats Phillies in the K Street section.
Tiger Week.
800-636-1067. Game Show Wednesday next here on The Fan.
I need to give a belated thank you to Kim Murphy from Modelo for the fistful of Modelo party deck picks to the Slayer concert at Jiffy Lube Live last weekend. Had a great time. So thank you to Kim Murph.
I saw a picture. Tom Daly was there as well?
I was there. My brother was there. Tommy DeLay was there. And his girlfriend was there. So
cool.
I was enjoying a 24-ounce Modelo, as was Tommy's girlfriend. And Tommy, with the really metal move, had a yard-long strawberry daiquiri that he enjoyed.
Nice.
He had not one, but two of them.
He was going hardcore.
So thank you to Murph for the Modelo party deck
tickets. I got
to
thank
people Joan on those type of things, but let me tell you something.
They're delicious.
Frozen daiquiris or frozen margaritas or a pina colada, they're good.
They're good. Of course they are. And so was the Modelo. Went down smooth on a nice summer night.
My girl Heidi ordered Wolf Trap.
This is the very, thank you portion of the show.
I guess this because, is the thank you to concert friends portion of the show.
Because she is taking care of me and my wife and my daughters tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because Harry Connick is coming to town.
Ah, very good.
And I thought you were going to say, weren't you going to see Toad?
Oh, Toad is until August 10th.
Yeah, he's got to work on his hooks at the Birchmere, I believe.
Still working on that.
Sorry, I'm muddying the waters here for your plug.
But, your wife loves Harry Connick. Did she watch his talk show? His talk was horrible.
It's still on?
No, but she would do felonious things to Harry. Yeah.
Is she going to the concert with pants on? That's what I need to know.
Maybe she comes home with pants off.
Right.
She'll probably go with pants on, leave with pants off.
Okay, that's possible.
But she loves her some Harry Connick.
We know.
So thank you, Heidi.
I couldn't name one Slayer song, by the way.
No, I haven't.
What is their number one hit?
Ooh, they have hits like Raining Blood, South of Heaven. I mean, they just have so many. Postmortem, that's a good ditty. Black Magic.
Postmortem, it's a very cheery song.
Oh, man, they have so many hits.
Very cheery.
How about Angel of Death? That was the show closer.
Even though
I wasn't around for that one because I had to speed home.
Gotcha. All right, let's punch up some contestants here. We have some great prizes to give away. Game Show Wednesday brought to you by Cakes.
MGM National Harbor.
All right, we have... Go
see some flops in the poker room. I encourage that.
A pair of Trophy Day passes, which we will give away first, and then we have a bunch of tickets to go see the Nats take on the Phillies K-Street section. Let's go to Ben in Fredericksburg.
Is Eric Bickle
one.
Okay?
He comes in late all the time.
What's happening?
What's up?
What's up, Ricky?
What's happening?
PGA Tour Trivia. This PGA stud stands 6 feet, 4 inches tall, is 33 years old, and just won the FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Oh, good luck.
6'4". That should be a kind of giveaway.
Come on, this was in the news.
Henrik Stenson.
Who? No, it is not Henrik Stenson.
That's a good guess, though.
800-636-1067.
You had him this week?
Yeah, I think he T26. My other guy, MC.
Same question.
In one of my pools, I've had 4 straight MCs. Sucker MCs are the worst.
Let's go to Steve in Bristow. He's never played a game on Game Show Wednesday.
Morning, Junks.
Hey, buddy.
Same question for you.
Would that be Lurch's man crush, Bryson DeChambeau?
No, it would not be.
6'4", 33, just won the FedEx St. Jude.
Amazing, he knows Bryson DeChambeau, but he doesn't know who won.
Who's up next?
There's a level of golf knowledge there that's pretty deep.
This is now Googleable.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure people have already.
Jay.
I mean, that was too easy. Dustin Johnson,
You're a big winner. You get a pair of Trophy Day passes to catch Tiger. Ricky Fowler in the PGA Tour, stars of the Quicken Loans National Tournament, June 27th through the 1st of July at TPC Potomac. Get your details at thefandc.com/contests.
All right, who's our next contestant here on Game Show Wednesday, PGA Tour Trivia?
All right.
Can we just do 4 hours of this?
Well,
that's the last segment.
If you want a zero share, yes, we'll do 4 hours.
You don't think we get good ratings?
Game shows are never a zero share.
That's true. That's a good point.
Let's go to Dave Poolsville. Hey, Dave.
Hey there, guys.
All right, Dave.
One trivia question. You know the song We Are the Champions?
Yes.
The very first champion that was sung at that was the 78 Bullets.
Didn't know that.
That's a good nugget.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a great
nugget. That's when the song came out in the mid-'78.
I did not know that.
It is the greatest sports anthem
I'm going to take your word for it that's accurate.
All right, Dave. Occasionally on the show we play a game called Missing Link where you have to connect two names or two words with that missing link word or name. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you 10 seconds on the clock to figure this out. PGA Tour Trivia, remember, Justin Blank Garden.
You say Garvin?
Garden.
Garden.
Garden. Not Garden.
Like
Garden.
Like in the backyard. Garden.
Justin Blank Garden.
Justin. God, you stumped me on that one.
How many Justins do you know on PGA Tour?
Sorry, buddy. I know at least a second. There's Justin Thomas, who's silly, and then there's Justin Rosegarden,
who's silly.
That's a good one. He is silly.
They're both pretty good.
All right, let's go to Evan, Baltimore. Evan.
Yo, guys.
Evan, we'll do a missing link for you. You got 10 right. seconds on the clock. Jason blank Trader.
Jason blank Trader?
Yes.
Trader. Trader with a T.
With a D, actually.
Like Trader.
Oh.
Not Trader.
Yes. Jason
blank
Trader. Trader.
Yeah.
You said
Jason Day Trader.
Benedict Arnold.
Jason Day Trader. He's a winner.
Yes, you got
winner.
It.
Yeah. I said with a, T.
He thought you meant the second letter.
You're a big fan.
You know what I mean?
You
the
get a pair
in the middle of it.
Trophy Day passes to the Quicken Loans National. Congrats.
No. I think we're out of those.
Oh, out.
He gets
okay.
the tickets to see your Nationals take on the Phillies.
We're all
Nats
over
Park.
The place.
Enjoy the K Street section and root for your Nats to victory. Tickets on sale now at the Nats Park box office.
You know what?
But you can win your way in on the junkie.
The PBRs and Miller Lights.
I said with a T because I thought he said Schrader.
Oh,
like
no.
Schrader with an S. I said no with a T.
Get more details at thefandc.com.
Can we?
/contest. We can do one more. We have one more this week.
Can you cue up the Francesa clip, though? Can we play that for a minute? I mean, it's so great. We'll do it tomorrow, maybe.
Might have to let it breathe and do it tomorrow.
It's so great.
Let's give it a whole hour.
Where Francesa basically thinks he thought of fantasy sports yesterday.
daily fantasy.
He came up with DraftKings concept about 5 years too late.
All right. Let's go to Tony, South Riding. Didn't he retire? Tony.
For 10 minutes.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's Tony. Up? One last PGA Tour missing link. Patrick blank Timmer.
Buddy, easy.
Who's going to know that?
The only Patrick in the PGA, Patrick Reed.
Yes,
there you go.
Patrick Reed Timmer.
You got it.
You're a winner. You get a pair of tickets to your Nationals take on the Philadelphia Phillies June 22nd. At Nats Park, enjoy the K Street section and root your Nats to victory. Tickets are on sale now through the Nats Park box office, but you win your way in with 106.7 The Fan. Go to thefandc.com/contest for more details.
Jason, could you imagine going up to Reed Timmer, who you've chased tornadoes with?
Yeah.
And the next time you see him, you call him another storm chaser's name.
I haven't talked to that guy
hey,
in
I'm not
years.
Proud of it. I'm pretty ashamed of what I did in downtown D.C. yesterday.
No, he still does it.
I want to hear the OV clip again. Do you have the longer version, or no, you still have your little
Thank
nubs?
You. Thanks for taking the guns off me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I just want to hear that. I just love that clip so much. I want to hear this every day, honestly, for the rest of my life. I can never get enough of it. There's something about it. It's so freaking charming.
Silly song.
And the one and last thing. Before the year... I said, not me say, it's just us saying, we're not going to be f***ing sucked this year.
That's so
we're
great.
We're Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
Woo! Seriously,
the roar, you don't hear more roar. Doesn't he?
Yeah!
Sounds like Ronnie Mund.
I'm telling you, it sounds like.
Or who's the
I'm sure you can say that.
All right, what's that guy's name, though?
By the way, you lead the league in dumps.
All
you
right,
try
that's
and claim it's me.
I just
for the record, it's not even close.
I don't think you technically had to drop.
I draw inspiration from Ronnie Mund. This is the biggest block party ever thrown in D.C.
Hey, did he sound like William Wallace when he beat Longshanks?
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah!
Play the
sounds
beginning.
Like he's getting drawn and quartered at the end of the movie.
Please.
Yeah,
begging you. Just the beginning.
Which one?
Just the beginning. I just want to hear it again.
Just play anything.
We're not going to be effing sucked this year. We're Stanley Cup
champions.
We're not going to be sucked this year. We're good. Stanley Cup champions. Yeah.
Oh my god. I don't think
that
I could.
That clip is like porn to me.
Oh yeah, it is to me too.
That gets me fired.
That's gotta be the greatest, you know, post parade podium quote of all time.
Ever.
Any team.
I'm not kidding. I'm in love with him.
I
literally am in love with him.
Hey Cakes, you're gonna sleep here at the station again?
You're gonna continue the bender?
I'm sure you got pretty good sleep last night.
Going
twice in a week.
Going home to your children today?
Yeah, I'm gonna actually see my family.
All right, great.
Like a normal human
on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.